update, but no.
Blog Talk Radio. Okay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a week for the Twin Cities, the Millennium, and Paragon Cities. This is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man. I'm bringing Mad Viking on. We got some good stuff to get to, but we definitely have some bad news to start off the show with. I'm bringing him on. Some people call him Mad. Some people call him a Viking. We just call him Mad Viking.
I know you are, but what am I?
Yes, and as we came on the air, I found they come in threes. I just found a third. Or I saw the third. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to them. Let's do them in order. First, yesterday, we got news. Inga Swenson, actress on Broadway, and Gretchen the Cook on Benson.
Well, Krause. They just plainly call
Krause.
Her Krause.
Krause, right. Everybody just call her Krause. Matter of fact, while I'm reading it, there we go. Okay. She was nominated for 3 Emmys, 2 Tonys. She also stood out in the 1962 films The Miracle Worker and Advice and Consent. Let's see here. Yeah, Gretchen Krause, otherwise known just as Krause, starred with Robert Guillaume's character in the 1980s ABC sitcom Benson. She's died. She was 90. She died Sunday night of natural causes in hospice care in Los Angeles. Her son, Mark Harris, told The Hollywood Reporter. Svensson also sparkled, as we said, 2 critically acclaimed 1962 films released 7 weeks apart as the mother of Helen Keller, Patty Duke, in Arthur Penn's The Miracle Worker in 1962, and as the wife of a U.S. Senator with a dark secret, played by Don Murray in Otto Preminger's political thriller Advice and Consent. On the strength of those performances, the Nebraska native, no, she was not born in Germany, was cast in 1963 as the spinster Lizzie in 110 in the Shade, based on N. Richard Nash's play The Rainmaker. She received a Tony nomination for Best Actress in a Musical for that performance, then landed another for a turn as Sherlock Holmes' foe Irene Adler in the Hal Prince-directed Baker Street a year later. In 1978, Swenson showed up midway through the first season of the ABC comedy Soap as Ingrid Swenson, the Swedish birth mother of Curran Tate, played by Diana Canova. When Guillaume, who portrayed the scene-stealing butler Benson Dubois on that series, was given a spinoff, Svensson came along to play Gretchen, a German immigrant. The statuesque Svensson and Guillaume worked alongside each other inside the governor's mansion for 7 seasons, 79 through 86, and she received Emmy noms, in 82 and 85 for her work. A running gag had Benson insulting Gretchen under his breath, only to have her bellow, "I hear you!" Before the Susan Harris-created Soap and Benson, I never had any interest in sitcoms because I lacked all the qualities. She explained in the 1983 interview, "I walk into a casting office and sit down with my knees together. People take one look and say, 'You're not funny. You don't even have a funny face.'" Born in Omaha on December 29, 1932, Svensson was 15 when her father, an attorney and Swedish consul, who was knighted by King Gustav V, died in a car accident. She graduated from Omaha Central High School in 1950, then studied under famed acting teacher Alvina Krause at Northwestern University. When she was on stage in the supporting role, other more colorful actresses faded out. Attention always went to a tall, quietly beautiful girl, seemingly doing nothing to achieve focus. Krause wrote about her pupil in 1962, "How she acted was a mystery. She used no tricks of characterization, no incomparable vocal eccentricities. There was nothing in her work to label theatrical, no moments of bravura acting, yet she invariably wove her spell." A trained lyric soprano, Svensson made her Broadway debut in New Faces of 1956, alongside, among others, Maggie Smith. Then trained with Uta Hagen, Herbert Berghoff, and Lee Strasberg at the Actors Studio. She won a Theater World Award in 1957 for her turn opposite Walter Slezak in The First Gentleman. Starred in Romeo and Juliet and other productions for the American Shakespeare Theater in Stratford, Connecticut, and served as Julie Andrews' standby for Guinevere in Camelot on Broadway. In portraying Lizzie in 110 in the Shade, Swenson followed Geraldine Page and Katharine Hepburn, who played the character in The Rainmaker on Broadway in 1954-55 and in the 1956 Paramount film version, respectively. In 1965, she starred as Adler opposite Fitz Weaver as Holmes in Baker Street, which was written by Jerome Coopersmith and featured music from Sheldon Harnick and Jerry Bock. 3 years later, she portrayed Eliza in the City Center revival of My Fair Lady. Swenson also played the mother of Haas, played by Dan Blocker, on Bonanza, the younger sister of Rose, Biddy White, on The Golden Girls, the matriarch of a wealthy Pennsylvania family on two North and South miniseries, and a nun in Lipstick in 1976. In addition to her son, an assistant editor with credits including Blues Brothers, 2000, and Digging to China, survivors include her husband, singer-actor Lowell Harris of West Side Story, whom she married in February 1953, and her granddaughter Lily. Another son, James, died at age 26 in a motorcycle accident in 1987. And then the big news, the one we heard today. Pee Wee Herman actor and creator Paul Reubens died from cancer at age 70. And what fitting music to play in the background of this one. Let me lower it just a little bit more. He made this song famous. Okay, so in Los Angeles, Paul Reubens, the actor and comedian, whose Pee Wee Herman character, an overgrown child with a tight suit and an unforgettable laugh, became a 1980s pop culture phenomenon, has died at 70. Reubens, whose character delighted fans in the film Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Okay, I can hear it. Hold on. Okay, that was a little too loud. Sorry about that. And died Sunday after a 6-year struggle with cancer that he kept private. His publicist said in a statement, "Please accept my apology for not going public with what I've been facing the last 6 years," Reuben said in a statement released Monday with the announcement of his death. "I've always felt a huge amount of love and respect for my friends, fans, and supporters. I have loved you all so much and enjoyed making art for you. Created for the stage, Pee-wee with his white chunky loafers and red bow tie would become a cultural constant in both adult and children's entertainment for much of the 1980s. Though an indecent exposure arrest in 1991 would send the character into entertainment exile for years. The staccato giggle that punctuated every sentence catchphrase like, I know you are, but what am I? May I do it?
I know you are, but what am I?
And a tabletop dance, the champ song Tequila, which you're hearing in the background, in a biker bar in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, were often imitated by fans to the joy of some and the annoyance of others. Reubens created Pee-wee when he was part of the Los Angeles improv group, The Groundlings, in the late 1970s. The live Pee-wee Herman show debuted at the Los Angeles Theater in 1981 and was a success with both kids during matinees and adults at a midnight show. The show closely resembled the format that Saturday morning TV Pee-wee's Playhouse would follow years later, with Herman living in a wild and wacky home with a series of stock character visitors, including one, Captain Carl, played by the late Saturday Night Live star Phil Hartman. HBO would air the show as a special. Reubens took Pee-wee to the big screen with 1985's Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which takes the character outside for a nationwide escapade. The film, in which Pee-wee is cherished by Castolan, was said to be loosely based on Vittorio De Sica's Italian neorealist classic, The Bicycle Thief. Directed by Tim Burton and co-written by Hartman, the movie was a success, grossing $40 million and continued to spawn a cult following for its oddball whimsy. A sequel followed 3 years later in the less well-received Big Top Pee-wee, in which Pee-wee seeks to join the circus. Reubens' character wouldn't get another movie starring role until 2016's Pee-wee's Big Holiday for Netflix. Judd Apatow produced Pee-wee's big screen revival. His television series, Pee-wee's Playhouse, ran for 5 seasons, earned 22 Emmys, and attracted not only children but adults to Saturday morning TV. Jimmy Kimmel posted on Instagram that Paul Reubens was like no one else, a brilliant and original comedian who made kids and their parents laugh at the same time, He never forgot a birthday and shared his genuine delight for silliness with everyone he met. Both silly and subversive in championing nonconformity, the Pee-wee universe was a trippy place, populated by things like a talking armchair and a friendly pterodactyl. Director Guillermo del Toro tweeted Monday that Rubens was one of the patron saints of all misfitted, weird, maladjusted, wonderful, miraculous oddities. The act was a hit because it worked on multiple levels, even though Rubens insists that wasn't the plan. "It's for kids," Rubens told the Associated Press in 2010. "People have tried to get me for years to go, it wasn't really for kids, right? Even the original show was for kids. I always censored myself to have it to be kid-friendly. The whole thing has been just a gut feeling from the beginning," Rubens told the AP. "That's all it ever is, and I think always ever be. Much as people want me to dissect it and explain it, I can't. One, I don't know. And two, I don't want to know. And three, I feel like I'll hex myself if I know." Rubens' career was derailed when he was arrested for indecent exposure in an adult movie theater in Sarasota, Florida, the city where he grew up. He was handed a small fine, but the damage was incalculable. He became the frequent butt of late-night talk show jokes, and the perception of Rubens immediately changed. "The moment that I realized my name was going to be said in the same sentence as children and sex..." That's really intense, Rubens told NBC in 2004. "That's something I knew from that moment, that very moment. Whatever happened past that point, something's out there in the air that is really bad." Rubens said that he got plenty of offers to work, but told the AP that most of them wanted to take advantage of the luridness of my situation, and he didn't want to do them. "It just changed," he said. "Everything changed." He did take advantage of one chance to poke fun at his tarnished image. Just weeks after the arrest, he would open the MTV Video Music Awards, walking onto the stage alone and saying, "Heard any good jokes lately?" Herman's appearance on MTV had fueled Pee-wee's popularity in the early 1980s. In 2001, Rubens was arrested and charged with misdemeanor possession of child pornography after police seized images from his computer and photography collection, but the allegation was reduced to an obscenity charge, and he was given 3 years probation. Okay, born Paul Rubenfield in Peekskill, New York in 1952, the eldest of three kids, he grew up in Sarasota where his parents ran a lamp store and he put on comedy shows for neighbor kids. After high school, he sought to study acting. He spent a year at Boston University and was then turned down by the Juilliard School and Carnegie Mellon University. So he enrolled at the California Institute of the Arts. That would lead to appearances at local comedy clubs and theaters and joining the Groundlings. Paul's contributions to comedy and entertainment have left a lasting impression on the world, and he will be greatly missed by all in the Groundlings community, the group said in a statement. After the 1991 arrest, he would spend the decade playing primarily non-Pee-wee characters, including roles in Burton's 1992 movie, Batman Returns, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer film, and a guest star role on TV series Murphy Brown. He also appeared in the 1999 comedy film Mystery Men and Johnny Depp's 2001 drug dealer drama Blow. Rubens, who never lost a boyish appearance even in his 60s, would slowly reintroduce Pee-wee Herman, eventually doing a Broadway adaptation of the Pee-wee Herman show in 2010 and a 2016 Netflix film. Rubens was beloved by his fellow comedians and fans of Pee-wee spanned the culture. "His surreal comedy and unrelenting kindness were a gift to us all," Conan O'Brien tweeted. "Damn, this hurts." And we have one more, which I just found out about. Wrestling star Adrian Street, flamboyant legend, dies. Hold on a minute. I'll be right back. Sorry.
All right. But, it has been an interesting day. And people are going like, who's Adrian Street? You got to be a WWF fan on this one. Yeah, we're going that far back on this one. But I remember, Krause and Benson and their total battles there. And, of course, we cannot get past Pee-wee's Playhouse dominating on CBS for a long time, and interestingly enough, was the spring, that show was the springboard for one Lawrence Fishburne.
That's right. A few people were on that show.
Yeah, Cowboy Bob, Lawrence Fishburne.
That's right. That's right.
Just think, he would not be appearing on The Matrix if it wasn't him wearing that ridiculous cow suit, cowboy suit.
You know what's funny? Think about this one. Paul Rubens appeared in all the Cheech and Chong movies.
Yep.
I thought that was so funny, about, like, watching him now. I'm like, wait a minute. All right, this one, we can do this one quick. I'll read this one. I didn't think those other two.
Right.
You guys might not know him, but wrestling legend Adrian Street, flamboyant legend, he died at age 82. He was dubbed the sadist in sequins and the man fans love to hate. He was a Welsh wrestling icon. He died on July 24th. I don't know why we're just getting this information now, a week later. Simran's Grange University Hospital. His family just confirmed this. He had recently undergone brain surgery. He was born in Blaenau Gwent. Street became an infamous sporting figure during the 70s and 80s for his outrageous appearance and no-holds-barred fighting style. On Sunday night, his wife, Linda, described the real person behind that ringside persona as the kindest, most loving man you could ever meet. Having grown up in Bryn Mawr in the fort, you know these Welsh names, the spelling of them. It's just... Bryn Mawr. In the 1940s, Street refused to follow his pit worker father down the mines. Too dark down there. I was born for the spotlight, he confessed in an interview. Still in his mid-teens, he instead ran away to London and eventually signed up with a wrestling promoter who christened him Kid Tarzan Jonathan. Later reverting back to using his own name, Street's flamboyant choice of costume, feather boa, day glow face paint, and peroxide pigtails soon captured the attention of the audience. But being met with catcalls and jeers only resulted in him becoming even more over the top, skipping around the ring and planting lipstick kisses on his opponents' foreheads before pummeling them to the canvas. In 1971, he even beat Jimmy Savile Black and Blue, the now reviled pedophile, DJ and TV presenter, having been touted as something of a tough guy during a spell on the wrestling circuit. He said, back in those days, the promoters were trying to get proper wrestlers to throw their matches with him. It was all part of some big stupid gimmick, said Street in 2013. Having none of it, the Welshman ended up dropping Savile on his head and tearing out a large chunk of his hair. Holy shit. Well, good for him. Moving to Canada and the U.S. in the 80s, Street made an even bigger name for himself, playing up to the cameras and winning one championship belt after another. Settling down in Florida, he and his wife and manager, Linda, herself a former wrestler who Street first met in 1969, also started up a successful costume-making business, the Bazaar, along with a nearby wrestling school called Skull Crushers Academy. Okay, so he survived cancer in 2001, having been initially told by his doctor to prepare for the worst. Nevertheless, his wife, Linda, at 77 at this time, explained that his latest battle would ultimately prove too much for him. He had had a heart problem a while ago, which was resolved, she said. But then he had a stroke earlier this month, which resulted in a bleed on the brain. He was recovering from that at home when he developed colitis, a chronic inflammatory bowel disease, which later turned into sepsis. That's what killed him. It all came about so quick, I've still not come to terms with it yet. She paid tribute to the grandfather of five, calling him the kindest, most lovely and loving man I've ever known, the total opposite to how he behaved on stage. Linda added that she planned to have Street cremated and his ashes scattered on the mountains near their home in Simbron. He loved the outdoors and we go on long walks in the countryside all the time. He'd really love to be at peace up there, she said. So we don't have a theme for him, but in tradition of passing wrestlers, we will now do a silent. What will be silent as we do a 10-bell salute? All right. And we do have a caller on hold.
Okay.
You knew him. You love his artwork. Ladies and gentlemen, Swackhammer.
Hey, Swag.
Hello.
What's happening, Swackhammer? Oh, we can hear you as long as you can hear us. That's good.
I can hear you. I can hear you.
That's good. That's good. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Doing well. Surprisingly. Doing well, yeah. How are you doing?
I know, right? Surprisingly well as well. Well as well? Is there an echo?
I'm surprised to hear that you're on tonight, considering you had the oral surgery, right?
That was a couple weeks ago. I had a tooth pulled, and then there was like a gum infection. But I was on the air that week. I pulled as a trooper. I was on during the bad tooth and the gum infection. I was on air those weeks. So
yep.
Somehow,
but he did have those painkillers. He did have that moment of look at Mr. Hand.
No, I didn't. I didn't know the painkillers. You know what the painkillers were? Amoxicillin, 800 milligrams of ibuprofen, and I'm like, well, I'm on stronger stuff now. Thanks for nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit.
Hey,
Louise.
And for those who are first-time listeners, and as always our first-time listeners, sooner or later, Mike Hammer, you're best known as an artist, an indie actor in a couple of movies. A cartoon on your own right.
No, I'm still working on that.
Yep. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, right now I decided to drop the more serious material I was working on, and I'm working on something that I'm calling Terrible Tuesday. And Terrible Tuesday is a continuation of a fictional comic strip, and aren't they all, from the 70s, with the character's children. And in particular, one known as Tuesday, who had, as a baby and as a toddler, a knack for punching little boys. Well, it's 5 years later, and she's come back home, and the first thing she does is establishes what justice will be on the playground. Like finding the first bully and knocking him out. Yes, she gets cheered, but there are consequences to every action, and so that's what follows.
All right. And you can go to DeviantArt.com Paper Valentine if you want to take a look at that.
Cool, cool.
Actually, I don't have it posted there. I am working on a website, though. I have not pulled the trigger on actually publishing it. Though it is live, I want to update it, but I want to put some of the work there as well. So, and I'll put it on DeviantArt, sure, but hey, me as well.
Yep.
Always good to get some feedback on how things are progressing.
And I remember the early days when I met him, and he was doing artwork for City of Heroes stuff with his very famous Swackhammer tune. And those on City of Heroes knows he's very good at costume contests.
I used to be. Now, with everything opening up with the private servers, I don't even try anymore. I just go for what pleases me. So I have been winning, though.
Yeah, he came to many One for Hero Dawn, in which we ran a thing called Go for the Goat. You can keep the prize that you win, or in the style of Let's Make a Deal, trade it in for door number one, door number two, or door number three. And all of a sudden, there's Swackhammer. Go for the goat!
Had fun. Thank you very much for this, by the way.
And that idea came, because we did a game show theme costume contest in the style of Let's Make a Deal. Did a trivia in the style of Jeopardy. You must answer in the form of a question. And then we ended up with the Go for the Goat, and it stuck.
I even made a little banner for that.
Yep. Now, question here. Like I said, you're also an indie actor. You've been in a couple of things. Refresh my memory here, because...
Okay. Yeah, there was a director making his movie for the first time, and it was Hubert and the Night People.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a narrator for that, and ended up doing a few more of his shorts for narration, and even appeared in two of them. But they're all local, and they went around the world in different viewings, so that's something. And he did contact me about narrating a script for him for a feature motion picture, but I haven't heard back from him, so I don't know how that's actually working out. I'll have to ask.
I was about to say, are we supporting the writer/actor strike?
You know, he talked to me before that happened, so I don't know. I've been kind of focusing on my strip and getting ready for BentoCon.
Ah.
Yeah, BentoCon.
What was that name again?
BentoCon, as in like the bento box.
Okay, bento. Okay. Very good.
Yeah. And it'll be in Claymont, Delaware, August 27th, I believe. I'll have a table there, and I'll be offering commissions for portraits in animation style.
Cool.
I did that at an event, a yearly event before COVID hit, for Anime Day that was local here. So
you're now doing animation?
No.
Oh.
No. It's an anime and comic convention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say, we've been looking for an animator.
Oh, I did some animation like years ago, and I haven't done anything with it since, so I'm not sure I'm skilled enough to do that right now. But I'll work on my strip, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep working on it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And as of late, you've been mainly on City of Heroes. You do make an appearance time by time on Champions. I do see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was going to stop doing it altogether. Yeah, I know that's surprising. Yeah, but as you know, as I'm sure you're well aware, this is time consuming.
Oh, yeah.
And at times it can be all-consuming. So I had to make some decisions as to how time I was going to devote to playing both Champions and City of Heroes. Mm-hmm. City of Heroes is my first love, so I'll always come back to that first. But I'll show up on Champions again from time to time, like for DawnCon.
Yeah, I did see you. It was the first time I was not running it. Pogo jumped in the middle to save it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for that.
And save it we did. Yes. Thank you. Without those help, we saved DawnCon this
and Alan.
And Alan. Yes. The committee saved it.
So
next year
we shall have
DawnCon 9.
I already had someone doing the Schoolhouse Rock going naughty number 9.
Oh,
we are dating ourselves again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago they had bands, you know, more recent bands covering the Schoolhouse Rock songs.
Why are they banning Schoolhouse Rock?
Not banning, they were covering them. They were doing covers.
Oh, covering, okay.
Covering.
Banning.
Yeah, they were doing.
I'm like, wait a second.
No, they were up there. No, they were doing. They were covers. My mom was getting DVDs of the month, and it always threw like an extra one in there. And
mm-hmm.
two of the coolest ones I got that she got, she didn't want. One was Mystery Men. She goes, she looks at it, she goes, I think this is more your style. I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'll take that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The other was like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like Schoolhouse Rock cover. It was like Schoolhouse Rock. I was like, I will take that in a heartbeat. But I remember hearing that.
Well, there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just, funny I got a
never opened it.
Paul Rubens, we should have done a 10 SBD salute. In tribute to the spleen.
yes, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, when I read the article about that 2016 Netflix movie, I didn't know he did one. I remember watching on HBO recently, a couple of years ago, that that they did a newer version of the Pee-wee's Playhouse. I remember as a kid, they did a Pee-wee's Playhouse. And I was watching it. I was like, I don't know if this is for us. I was a little kid at that time.
That was the HBO special, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
That was definitely
like,
not
I don't
for
think
kids.
That's for kids.
Nope.
No, it wasn't.
That came
no,
much later.
That one wasn't. And it's funny because the newer one, that was more for kids. And I'm like,
the newer one,
it was
yeah,
funny because he showed this.
Was for kids, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was like,
yeah, I think they actually used the same actress for what
the
was
same
it,
movie.
Pretty?
Yeah, they used the same, except for Lawrence Fishburne. They didn't have him in that one. And obviously they didn't have Phil Hartman. Well, what's funny is they use the same films, you know, like from the 1950s, like the kids wash their hands and do this, blah, blah, and that's why their school is so boring. the big punchline at the end was like, he's got to say, this is why their school is so boring. And he said, I was like, that's great. I remember that from as a kid. But the rest of it, they changed. I was like, I got to find the original now.
I have that on DVD.
There you go.
Oh, cool. There you go. All right.
I made sure to find that.
Yes.
Maybe if you can copy it and send it to the Bunny Night Crew, we got a Wednesday show.
Oh, God.
Right.
Yes, we do.
I cannot make a copy. It is wrong.
Okay. We believe you. I bet it's on YouTube. As
not
I go
sure
looking
sure.
for it,
find it.
As I go looking right now for it,
I'm pretty sure now it's probably pretty popular.
Oh yeah, I was about to say now it's gonna be. If it wasn't before, it is. Will be now. And I think I saw a picture. Was he a Lost Boy, or was that him as a vampire was from Buffy?
That was Buffy.
That had to be from Buffy.
That was the movie
right.
Buffy.
Oh,
yeah.
My. Oh, my. The first thing that came up. Live at the Roxy Theater, 1981.
Yes, I would have preferred that to be Herman to the kids show, but you know, they weren't aiming for me. So,
But I remember on IFC a few years ago, they started airing Pee-wee's Playhouse Saturday mornings. They did like two episodes on the weekends, or maybe 2 hours, maybe an hour. Maybe 2 hours worth on Saturdays and Sundays, which I thought was funny. So, and it was right about that time when they said they were going to do an HBO special. So,
oh yeah, they did. They did do that. Yeah.
It wasn't as fun as the original. Well, no. The Pee-wee's Playhouse that they did, it was reruns of the original Saturday morning show.
Oh, okay.
No, they didn't do it. It was just they just did reruns. So.
Well, I thought they redid the stage show too at one point.
That would probably be the Broadway show.
Okay.
Right. They did. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Right. They redid the Broadway show, but at right about the time that they mentioned that they were going to air it on HBO, IFC decided that, I guess, for a couple of months before it came out, they were going to air on the weekends Pee-wee's Playhouse Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Okay.
So,
I got. Now I'm curious. We talk about with Lawrence Fishburne. I got to say,
right.
Did he make a comment about his passing? That
probably did. I don't know why he wouldn't, unless it's what it's beneath him to say something about his former.
I don't know if it'll be immediate, just because of you know what I'm saying. I guess it would be under a video.
Maybe let's put Cowboy Curtis past him. I don't know.
Let me change this to past 24 hours. Lawrence Fishburne, Natasha Lyonne, and S. Epatha Merksonal had breakthrough parts in Paul Rubens' seminal children's... okay. But that, those are old clips. Okay. I guess it's still kind of early. Probably see something mentioned tomorrow. All right. And Goblin just found out now that Pee-wee Herman died.
There's actually an internet story how he landed Lawrence Fishburne. He already knew him. They were part of the Groundlings together.
Lawrence Fishburne was a comedian? I mean, you think of him from The Matrix, and he was the voice of the Silver Surfer.
Hold on. This is it. They met through a lighting guy. Okay, Lawrence Fishburne, I already knew, Rubens told the Los Angeles Times in 2014. We did cast Lawrence in New York, but this is such an odd story. I had a high school kid who was the follow spot operator on the Pee Wee Herman show, The Groundlings, and his best friend was Lawrence Fishburne. They were both at Hollywood High School. Lawrence had already done Apocalypse Now, but only knew him as a sidekick to my follow spot operator. Rubens reminisced before remembering an old anxiety, and I would always be, are they up too late? Maybe Rubens knew everything that happened on the set of Apocalypse Now and the lie Fishburne told to get cast in it. He wouldn't have worried quite so much about little things like curfews.
All right. Well,
then there's a whole thing that there's a whole long explanation here. So,
I just took a look at time. I may as well jump it right into this here. There's also a special thing going on,
okay.
A whole lot of people are kind of happy the fact that they're going to get a second chance.
Do you want me to extend the show to 10 o'clock?
If you want.
Well, yeah. All right.
Okay. I don't have that control. You do.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember how to do it.
Remember, the last time you tried that, it had turned into a one-hour show.
No, that was beforehand. That was beforehand. let me try and do this really quickly.
Yeah, and for those why you say that, because I was talking to Pogo Man. For Dawn Radio, I think I'm dropping the Greatest Generation podcast, especially last few weeks. Not a whole lot of people now, I guess. Once 7 and 9 made the appearance and did the nude scene episode, it was like, down. For those knows who I'm talking about here, the Doctor, the hologram, was having some very visual imagery. And one of the imageries was painting a nude portrait of 7 of 9 for a program. Wow. Very inventive imagination. Meanwhile, those watching on TV is going, okay, move a little to the right, because she was laying down on a couch. A little more to the right now. Come on.
Okay, this is odd.
You're locked?
Yeah, I think time's locked in at 90. So
okay, let's see if we can do this. Well, usually you do the book in 15
hold
minutes.
Hold on a minute. Nope, we're on till 10.
Okay.
I got it. It was
okay.
It was very simple. Hold on. It was very simple. It was simpler than I made it. So now next time when I say, oh, shit, I only hit 60 minutes, I know what to do. Or,
okay.
Oh, we're only in for 15 minutes? That would be hilarious. Not like, shit. I remember the one time somebody set a show up, and I was like, dude, you know we're only on the air for 15 minutes. And I was just helping with the soundboard. He goes, did I do everything right? He's like, yeah, if you're only doing a 15-minute show. What? No, we're supposed to do it for 90 minutes. I was like, hold on. Once you go on air, once you start the show, I could edit it. He goes, what do I do now? It's like, all right, I saved it. He goes, I don't see it. Refresh your screen. Oh, good job. Okay. See, when I first started doing, talk shows, my first 10 weeks, I was so nervous the day of, I would get headaches. So if you remember Susie the Elf when she was on, we would do test shows early in the day just to calm me down. We would do like 5-minute shows. She goes, and we would do this for like 2 months until to the point other people that did shows, even on other stations, would ask me to help out. I would co-host. I would just sit in the background. Like, I don't have a voice. Like, no, they just want you to work their soundboard. I'm like, they want me to work their soundboard? And I don't know what I'm doing? Okay.
Okay.
So,
well, like I said,
yeah.
Lot of people were happy with the March Madness mayhem. Others were disappointed because certain songs survived. We won't say who.
That's right.
But now you have a second chance.
But before we do this, we have to make it official. Maestro, if you will.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You just made the list. And get it on.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
They said we're lucky to have got this far. And that it's not worth fighting for. The words are written on the wall.
love how I got that mix done.
That was very cool. But first off, that's interesting.
What?
I saw that alto in the
I know that tune. That is not who it is.
No. But Sovereign got a Rain sidekick.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, huh? You have to read that carefully. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
Let's do roll call. Let's do roll call.
All right.
Okay. In the WCOC theater, you have myself, Mad Viking, alto standing on the desk holding a chair for I don't know how long doing squats. Cursed Doll has joined us. Silver Egret, hello, standing on top of the camera making sure she's filming us. We got Mordecus and Alan and the Teddysons, Clarence and Mr. Nom Nom, over in the Twin City of Millennium City, that is. We've got myself, Mad Viking, some NPC walking past us, not caring who we turned around at the last second. And we've got Goblinda? Okay, I said it right.
All right, so let's explain why you heard the March Madness mayhem music here. Well, August has no holidays, so I still say the day of the I Had a Dream speech should become a holiday. But,
Excuse me.
Yes?
Stop.
What?
Stop right there.
Okay.
August 24th is my birthday.
Okay.
I consider that a national holiday, sir. But please go on.
Okay. No holidays recognized by the U.S. government. How's that?
Bastards. No. Okay, thank you. Bastards.
All right. And, you know, like I said, people were happy they finally got rid of Barney.
Woohoo! Mission
But others
accomplished.
Wanted another yes. chance to get rid of other songs. And then I saw the World Cup is going. The World Cup
That's right.
had brackets. So
mm-hmm.
World Cup mayhem. But not 64,
but you,
32 songs.
But you left one out. You left one tournament out.
What is that?
It's the greatest tournament of all sports. New Japan Pro Wrestling's G1 Climax is going on right now, baby. It's the greatest pro wrestling event in the history of events. No, seriously, there's only two rounds left of the qualifiers.
All right.
Each wrestler's had
July.
five matches.
Yeah.
No, it's the end of July. It's the middle of July to the beginning of August. It goes on until August 13th.
Oh, okay.
They have five matches. Each wrestler has done five matches. They each have two left, and then they have the quarterfinals, and then the semifinals, and then the final match. The winner gets a title shot at the, ready for this, NJPW IWGP World Heavyweight Champion at Wrestle Kingdom at the beginning of January. And that stands for New Japan Pro Wrestling International Wrestling Grand Prix. IWGP is the governing body of New Japan Pro Wrestling. World Heavyweight Champion. And yes, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
I just love they put all that on the world title. It's like, huh? I said that something like, NJPW, IW, what? Anyway, enough of that.
Okay.
And I do keep track of it.
Now, the voting does not start till tomorrow. I will post
That's
it
right.
to all the vo- all the things tomorrow in the Discord. But you're get to hear a not the you won't hear the music. I will do that. You know, if you're going like, what is this song? And I will play
right.
that because it's during the movie night, so I can't interrupt that part. If there is no super sounds, and there is a possibility that there is no super sounds because work for Lewis Friend when it's overdrive. I will find
right.
out tomorrow on that. But if there is no super sounds, then I will play all 32 songs. Or at least a good portion of it to fit, because it's only a two-hour
right.
show, because Coconut comes on. But now,
right.
if you know the songs already, you can make your vote here.
Right.
All right. I do have the brackets.
And I am just going to preempt this by saying this. Once Barney got eliminated, as I was hoping it would, I declared this, and a few people agreed with me. The next time we had a tournament, it was Juggalo hunting season. Oh, it came early. So, and poor Alto just passed out from inhaling all those green bubbles. Why he inhaled those green bubbles, I don't know.
What's this, the Badminton World Solo Cup playoffs, 108 possible. No, not 128. No, only 32. There's only 32 brackets.
Is that in the Discord, or is that over in...
I was on City of Heroes. That's Goblinda.
Oh, guys. 128 possible songs in the bracket. It's the Oh Dear God, Not Another Bracket thingy. It could be worse. We could be playing pickleball.
Anyway.
If you know that, it's a real thing. Go ahead.
Well, it's just you and Swackhammer, Ron. If you know the songs, you can make your vote. And either tomorrow or Wednesday, you go, I don't know this song. You play this so I know what we're talking about. All right.
So
now,
Masquerade,
in the past,
if I pick any of your – hold on. If I don't pick your song or I save your song, I don't know them. I'm apologizing.
Okay. Here we go. Like I said, the voting doesn't start tomorrow, but Swackhammer and Pokemon, because they're on the call, they get
first cracks.
Here we go.
Woo-hoo.
Now, Pokemon has
Don't you
a history.
Feel proud? Yeah, I do. Oh, yes.
Now, Pokemon has a history. He does good on the East Coast side. The West Coast always hurts him.
And so that would mean on the right side bracket, I kick ass. That on the left side. No, on the right side. That left side, just fold that over. Don't even. So whatever
it's on
my right side. Put money on the right side. On the left side, don't. Oh, God, he's voting. Don't even look at those. But go ahead. Okay.
Here we go.
I'm green.
Now, I shook him across. Instead of last time, I just, whenever they came down, I just went straight down. Now I shook these guys.
So you're mixing and matching. You're just mixing them up. You're not even letting me know which side they're on.
Well, you know, everyone kind of predicted, you know, okay, this song's going to go after this one because he's going straight down. Nope, this time I mixed it. All right, so here we go. All right, so Pogo, Swack, for your decision.
Yeah.
Remember, this is the song that will be voted. You're voting in hopes to get deleted from my playlist
and possibly
auto music.
So every song we pick is the worst of the two because we want them to move on to get eliminated. Right. Okay.
We start off Yoko Ono War Zone versus the Insane Clown Posse Boogie Woogie Woo.
Dude, really? I just said it's Juggalo hunting season. And you throw the Juggalos at me. Why? When you know I'm going to vote for the Juggalos to move on. Come on.
All right.
Ice-T must go away. Why are you saying sorry, Poco? Tell me you're going
to
vote for...
Everyone's predicting Warzone to be the Juggernaut.
Really?
That's a tough choice for me.
No.
Because I don't listen to either one.
But hold on. But... I may only pick one. I know that, you know what it is? There's two Juggalo songs, and that might not be the one I want eliminated this time. There is another.
Yes, there is. We haven't gotten there yet. So you're saying
Holy
Boogie
shit.
Woogie Woo.
Wait, hold on. On Netflix, there's a movie called Hidden Strike. John Cena and Jackie Chan. And it's the number one movie in the U.S. and number one movie worldwide right now.
Okay. Anyway.
I don't have
so you're saying
I just
you
know
are voting for Boogie Woogie Woo. Correct?
Yes.
Swag?
You asking me?
Well, I
wouldn't normally listen to Insane Clown Posse anything. And at least I've listened to Yoko Ono. Not saying that it deserves a bracket. But I don't know. I have to say, go for the one I've actually listened to. Sorry.
All right.
Go for the Juggalo to get me to go. There we go.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. He's also voting for the Juggalos. Juggalos.
He's going for the Insane Clown Posse. All right.
Thanks.
Like I said, the votes start tomorrow. For everyone else, it starts tomorrow.
Alto's telling me you may only pick one Pogo. Yes, in the end, I can only pick one. But for now, I can vote for both of them.
All right, the next one. Kenny Shepherd, Spank. It is a country song. Versus the Sulu Dance.
I'm going to get in trouble here. You know what? I'm going to appease Masquerade and vote Spank.
You're voting? All right, type in you're voting for one so far one Spank song. So you can be safe.
Hold on.
There are five Spanking songs I want to point out.
Well, I want to know that one of my characters who showed up at the Comic Con is Papa Spank.
All right. So, Black Hammer, Kenny Shepherd, yes. Spank, or from Howard Stern, the Sulu Dance, parody of the Safety Dance.
I haven't heard either one. And
you want to hold until I play, huh?
May as well.
All right, that's a hold. Next.
Oh, just to play it safe, if we finish by 9:30, I'm going to end the show at 9:30. Or whenever we're done with this, if we run past 9:30.
Okay. Next, Baby Metal, Gimme Chocolate versus Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Wait a minute. Why is Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy on this list?
Someone voted for it.
Now, which one is Baby Chocolate? I remember this one. Gimme Chocolate. You can't vote off Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy.
So you're staying with... You're going...
Yeah, I'm going with the other one. Yeah.
You're going for Give Me Chocolate. All right.
Yeah.
Black Hammer.
But that song will not be eliminated, so don't worry about it. It's a strategic move. It's a strategic vote.
Okay, you're doing a strategic maneuver. All right.
Yeah. It's like certain songs I'm voting for now, they won't be eliminated, so don't worry about it.
All right. Okay, Swack Hammer.
What? Oh, shit.
Baby Metal, Give Me Chocolate, or Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Oh, goodness gracious me. Well, at least I heard the Bobby McFerrin song. I haven't heard the other one, so I'll vote for the one I haven't heard from. I've heard of.
So you're voting for Give Me for Chocolate for now?
Sure.
All right. Next, the
Hold
theme
on. Alto, not if you don't tell her. I haven't seen her in weeks.
Well, hopefully that will be corrected soon. We found out her problem here. It's Win 11 again. Windows 11.
Windows 11 is out? Wait, do
no,
I have
Windows
11
is having fun with her. Remember when you got Windows 10 and you were cursing up and down, left and right, because every problem came up?
Yeah.
Well, not your turn.
All right.
Next one. The theme from the Extreme Ghostbusters cartoon.
Okay.
The metal version of Ghostbusters, sung actually by the voice of Winnie the Pooh.
Oh my God! Okay.
Versus,
yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Versus Perry Grip, Up Butt Coconut.
Oh, you know what's funny? I was gonna save the Ghostbusters so Up Butt Coconut.
You're going for the coconut, okay?
Because it's the Ghostbusters, it's metal, and it's Winnie the Pooh all in one. How can you not like that? Come on, man.
Okay,
and Ghostbusters movies come out next summer.
That fires my imagination. I have not heard either one.
All right, so...
See, now Alto's on my... Hold on. Now Alto's on my side.
All right, here we go.
See, I get the crowd back on my side just like that.
All right, now we're in Southwest tier. Trump, Green Acres... versus Hordes of Acid Spank My Booty.
All right. I'm going to make Mask very happy. Let's just vote off Trump. Let's do it this time. The reason I didn't vote it for last time, because it was going up against Barney in the finals.
So you're voting
so
for Trump, Green Acres, over Spank My Booty.
Oh,
either
wait, no,
way,
no, no,
you're
no,
going
wait, wait,
to lose.
It's, wait, I promise, Mask, I will vote Spank My Booty.
Okay.
Because she wants to. I will vote Spank My Booty.
A quick retreat.
Yes, I just realized what I did. Yes, yes.
All right. Swackhammer.
Okay. This is also strange. But in honor of my Papa Spank. Oh, sorry, Pogo Man. What were you keeping again? What were you putting off? You're voting off?
I'm voting Spank My Booty off. No,
Spank My
Booty
off. Oh, okay. Yeah. You're voting
this
it off.
Round. Yeah.
Hmm. You know, I have heard either one, so once again, I'll have to hold off.
It's hilarious. He does a great job. If you watch the video of it, he comes on stage dressed like, what's his name, Eddie? The guy from Green Acres. He dresses like...
Eddie Albert. Is it?
Eddie Albert. Yeah.
Eddie Albert, yes. And what's her name from...
From Will and Grace, the friend.
Right. I can't
remember her name. She's in full character.
On TikTok, somebody posted the video when right about the time we were doing this. She posted a thing, like somebody posted the video to her Twitter, and she rolls her eyes. She goes, "If only I knew then what I knew now."
Okay, so
but it was funny. You know, why, you know, just because you did that doesn't associate with anything now. It's like, oh my God, get over it.
All right, and so Swackhammer, you're putting a hold, or?
I have to put a hold.
Okay.
I can vote either way because I've never heard either one.
All right. I know I'm probably going to hear a hold just because of one of the songs. Shatner Tambourine Man.
Oh, God.
Versus 216 MP3. This is a coconut song, as in DJ Coconut.
I am going to vote Shatner.
You're voting for Shatner.
Yes. It's just... it's just... He made it far last time, so.
Swackhammer, considering 216 MP3, you're going, huh?
Yeah, well, I've heard Shatner's other songs.
In the tradition, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how can I compare it to another song I've never heard? This is going to happen a lot for me.
Okay, next one, Bob Seger, Like a Rock, versus Sisko, or because of the TV series Sweet Tooth, the Thong Song.
The what song?
The Thong Song.
Oh, the Thong Song. I thought you said something different.
No.
Okay. Let's see. We got the Thong Song versus Like a Rock.
I will say, seeing Samoa Joe dressed as Sweet Tooth and hearing Will Arnett singing that song with Samoa
really?
Joe
I,
dancing
I
is
I
funny. It is funny to see.
Oh, God.
Rumor is he was actually Samoa Joe was actually singing, and he was singing it loud.
Oh, good Lord! That's why he was away for so long.
Yep.
And he came back. It's funny because he came back with a belt. I'm like, wait a minute. Uh, I'm going to go with the thong song.
One for the thong. Okay. Swackhammer, I know you had to hear both of them.
No, I have not.
You have not? Oh.
No, and as for Sweet Tooth, is that the Jeff Lemire's tonic that was adapted to a show?
Yeah, Twisted Metal is now a TV series on...
On
Peacock?
Peacock?
I think
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Peacock.
Well, I couldn't see, I can't see that either. So, at least not legally. once again, Swat Hammer holds.
All right.
To hear him.
Here we go. Next one. What in the butt? There's by Sam Weld, then later on to be made famous by Butters of South Park. Versus
right.
Bounce Your Boobies.
Come. I'm gonna go with what?
There was,
what
there was
in
some
the
complaints
butt.
We did not have any. We did not have enough booby songs.
So we're gonna go with. All right, we're gonna go with what in the butt to be eliminated.
In the butt. Okay.
That's right.
Swack.
You know, I must live the life of in a monastery. I don't get exposed to this thing.
Okay. Now, okay. That, now, like I said, the West Coast Pogo is not so well. Now we're in the East Coast, the Northeast.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Okay.
Dominic the Donkey, the first Christmas song to be nominated the last time with March Madness, makes its return. And it's going up against Forever Spank. That is that dance song that I play after Masquerade plays, asked me to play Trump Green Acres. Because we have someone from City of Heroes goes, Mr. Flibble is very cross.
I will vote for Forever Spanked.
Okay. So you're saving Dominic the Donkey.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
A ching-a-ching, you know. It's Dominic the Donkey. Come on, who doesn't love that song?
Right.
I don't love that song.
Oh.
Do you like it at least?
Once again, I'll have to hold.
All right.
I might as well hang up now.
Is it forever spanked or is forever spank? Spank?
Forever spank. Not past tense.
Forever spank.
Next is I Am the Chowder Man, the one Alto put in at the very last second last time.
Okay.
Versus Kip Akata, the Wet Dream, the fish song.
Ooh.
In other words.
Oh, is that the one with all the puns?
Yep.
And what was the other one?
I Am the Chowder Man.
Yeah, let's go for I Am the Chowder Man, because I like that other one. That one.
Okay.
I Am the Chowder Man, because the other one's hilarious. I love that one.
All right, Swack, have we hit anything?
No. No, I'm afraid not. And I have you or not.
All right. In other words, we now know Mad Viking has a very weird request show.
Yes. Well, that week you did.
Okay, Buzz Signal Sports Day. Think Rasta Ska style with the Leak Spin song versus Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby.
I'm voting for Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice. Whack.
Vanilla Ice on principle.
On principle, Vanilla Ice.
Why?
The Poxy Bogards. I Wear No Pants. The Old Man Bob theme versus
Never.
Aqua Barbie Girl.
I'm a Barbie Girl. Yeah, the Barbie song's got to go.
Barbie's
gotta
go.
No, no, no. Don't confuse it with the other Barbie song. There are two.
Wait, what's this one?
I'm a Barbie girl.
No, no, no.
That's one.
Yes. That's Aqua. Yeah, it is.
That's
yes,
Aqua.
Yep.
Yes.
I was thinking of these of the more hard rock Barbie girl.
No.
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 No. This is the one.
Sorry.
Let's go. Let's go, Barbie. Let's go, Barbie. Good Lord.
Of course, I don't know the other song.
Don't sing after you're eating a pretzel.
But we can let that go, yes.
Yeah.
So, Slack?
Oh, like I said, I haven't heard the other song. But I don't want to hear Barbie girl song anymore.
All right, the final eight, the Southeast bracket. Insane Clown Posse, Jump Around versus Madonna Hanky Panky from the movie Dick Tracy.
Ooh,
definitely Insane Clown Posse.
Okay.
Yes, I like Hanky Panky.
Okay.
Most people do. But I think this is the Insane Clown Posse song that has to go.
All right, so. you're gonna have to tell her because Hanky Panky's a spanking song.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not gonna tell her.
No, but Alto, I think, is gonna rat you out.
No, he won't.
You better come up with some gold real fast.
Dick Tracy soundtrack runs through my mind, so that's gotta stay.
Okay, next one. Leonard Nimoy, Bilbo Baggins song versus the birthday spanking song.
Oh. Okay, I know she wants all the spanking songs to go. I made the mistake of going on Instagram one morning early. Somebody posted the actual video to the Leonard Nimoy Bilbo Baggins song.
Right.
I don't know what the hell I was watching. I didn't have a cup of coffee to sip on while I was watching this. And I just sat there watching this thing like three times in a row going, you know how sometimes you watch something, you hope you watch it again to make sense? Or like, am I missing something? It was like, you know, people watch Jersey Shore and it's like a train wreck. You can't help but watch it. It was one of those things like, huh? What? It was just... I just couldn't get it out of my... It was just horrible.
So you're going for Nimoy.
I'm sorry. I got to get rid of Nimoy, too. It's just... No,
two.
You know what? No. I got to go with... Was it the birthday spank?
Yeah, that's the sound of you getting spanking.
Yeah, I'm going with the birthday spank. That is Leonard Nimoy will be third on my. I have a hit list, and Nimoy is third on my list.
Okay, yanking. This is another coconut pick, and I probably am going to have to play it. Versus an old reliable, just because in the animated video. The singer, Wheeler Walker Jr., looks like the Mad Viking tune. Drop Him Out. The other boob song. Seriously. Take a look at the video, the animated version. It looks like Mad Viking, and I've been picked on about it ever since. I'm going like, I may as well run with it.
Well, we can't pull that. What's the other one now?
Yank It. It's a rap song.
Yank It?
Yank In.
Yeah, let's get rid of... Yeah, we're getting rid of that one. That's ridiculous. Yeah, we're getting rid of that one.
All right, Swag?
Okay. Haven't heard either one, so hold again.
All right, that's a pause. The Booty Song. Give me that booty. Go me the booty. I like the booty. You like the booty. Versus Nickelback Rockstar.
Yeah, Nickelback's got to go. We got to keep the booty.
Got to keep the booty.
I like the booty. You like the booty. She like. I don't know what those words.
Flex?
Okay. Have not heard the Nickelback song. And I can't say I know what you're talking about either way.
All
at least
right.
That song last a couple weeks ago. The booty song. All right. Oh, boy. I'll hold on to that, too.
All right. So we have a hold.
All right. So that's all 32?
That's all 32.
guess what? We still have 9 minutes left. So obviously we're not going to read from the Tome from the Tomb this week. But we can discuss one more item this week.
All right.
Mad Viking and Alto have joined a new group offline. They joined my D&D group this week. So what'd you think, Mad?
Oh, yeah, I liked it. And they also seem to have liked my warped sense of humor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you fit. You guys fit right in. Alto, did you enjoy the... I lost his... I think it's too late to get him to call in.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I thought I had his.
Well, you extended it to 10, so actually you can do the Tome from the Tomb.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, but... let me see.
Or did something on WWE Raw just happen? You go, I gotta see it!
No. Okay, this is the email I was looking for before. Let me see if I get him to call in. Let me see. Alto, I'm sending you an invite to call in. Why are you doing that for?
As I already know, one of Alto's pick is like, I'm picking that coconut, up butt coconut song.
All right. We could do a new segment every week. What happened in the D&D campaign? If he'll call in. I sent it to him. I don't know if he's there because he's not responding. He's laying flat on the bed, on the table, rather flat on.
Well, he hears up butt coconut. He has a tendency to go catatonic.
Oh. So here's the thing. I actually found a French Burger King menu, and it looks like it's pronounced Master Saran Chevre. I hope I'm saying that right.
If not, Mordecai will tell you.
More because, like, shut up, you're murdering the language.
Patiently wait.
Catatonic. You went catatonic. Oh. It was like this. Hey, we just lost somebody. Cursed doll just disappeared.
We had a cursed doll poof. You still there, Swag?
I'm still here.
Okay. Oh, well, you mentioned you have a new website. How about mentioning that before we totally forget?
I mentioned that I have one, but I'm not really... I'm still working on it.
Oh, you're in process. Okay.
It is actually live, but I don't want to say anything about it right now until I fix it up.
Okay.
Alto, I just sent you an invite to call in really quick. If you can. Yes, and this week we'll be playing Sunday, not Saturday, Sunday at 5 o'clock.
So how is that going anyway?
Well, they joined us for one session, so. But, so far, so good. But I think I'm going to get new speakers this week for the laptop because it's hard to hear sometimes.
Everything that they're doing with D&D now seems like what we were doing with the original Red Basic Box.
Oh, God.
Only with official rules now.
Well, now it's 5th edition, so.
Well, what I'm saying is with the fifth box, you know, it didn't matter. The classes were basic. We assigned whatever type of characteristics we wanted just to make it, you know, we got a witch here. We got a...
Oh,
yeah.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Alto, Mark 7, D2. I thought I hit the button. Hello.
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 Hey. So, did you have fun Saturday night?
Yeah, I actually did have fun. It was my first ever D&D session, so.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Cause like
it was an interesting experience, you know, to finally, you know, experience a real pen and paper D&D session. And I would say it was
over
very hectic. It was hectic.
Yeah. It's hectic your first time, considering, you know, some of you guys are online, the rest of us are at the table. We just finished your character. Like, here's your character. I'm going over there to the house now. Sorry about that. Here's your spell list. These are the best spells you can use. Good luck. Sorry.
Yeah.
But you know what's kind of cool, though, for the next couple weeks is role-playing. I was just going to say the best thing to do is, like you did, you wrote out those spells. Study the spells that I gave you. Or, if you want to, you can even look up. I had it on my computer. Something happened. I'm having a problem with my internet connection. It wiped out half my saved stuff I have.
Ah.
You could look up, Bard Spell List 5e in a Google search. And it'll give you a program that you can look up. You click on the spell levels, and you can look up the spell lists and look up the spells you can cast.
Let's see.
But with the bards.
5e bard spells.
Yeah. Spell list.
Spell list.
Because, that'll show you what you can cast. With the bard, though, like, I play a wizard, so I get a spell book. I could put upteen spells in my spell book, but I can only cast so many of a certain level each day. But each day, I could go through and, memorize different spells. We have a paladin. They go through and they pray to their whatever deity they worship, and they pray to memorize new, for different spells. Ranger, she prays to her forces of nature for whatever spells she wants. As a bard, you basically do the same thing. You memorize other things. And we have somebody in the chat named Duck Northwest Media. I don't know who that is. Welcome to the chat.
Well, welcome, welcome.
Welcome to that's the studio chat room.
All right.
Okay. So, it just takes, you can research your stuff online, how to play the character. I did have a page set up. I don't know what happened to it. Because you get other abilities as you go up in level, and it would explain what you get. I'll try and find them tomorrow for you. And you can read them.
Okay.
I know one of the players, the guy plays Dasher, his name is Joe, his two kids play, and when he plays a paladin, and he goes, he doesn't understand what his paladin does, and I tell him, during the week, you got to look up your stuff to learn how to play it. You know, because, like, the last time I played before this campaign was second edition back in, what, 2000, 99, 2000, something like that? Was the last time I played. So, it's been a while. You know, some of the, what was I going to say? Some of the basics have changed, but some of the basics remain the same, so.
Yep.
You know, the only thing that's different is you roll a d20, the higher you go, the higher the better. I remember back in the day, it was like, no, for this you want to go lower. No, for this you want to roll higher. Huh? What? Make up my mind. So, there you go. But as long as you had fun.
Yeah,
that's like I say, that's the main thing. One, have fun. To enjoy playing, I joke around when appropriate. Learn to play your character. You know, learn the basics of your character. And then, you know, and then hope and pray your dice rolling is okay.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the dice on the Discord server that we're D&D.
Yeah.
I still can't figure it out, so you have to help me, you know, to do the rolls.
Yeah, hold on, let me see if I could do that now. Hold on. While we're on, guys, sorry, we're just taking a moment to figure this out.
I'm like roll D20, then what? I'm like, So...
That's not it. Wait a minute. Let me go to their thing. Yeah, I just did it on our chat thing.
Oh, yeah, I sent you a funny video there that you can check out later.
Oh. Oh, I know where to go. Wait. I know where to go.
You hover over campaign time and then. Like,
yeah, I was hoping to get in there to read. No, she's. One of them showed me a while ago how to.
It should be like a bubble bottom on the. When you hover over. The voice thing.
No. In the general chat months ago, they showed me how to. Oh, okay, hold on.
Like what kind of dice? You know, hit dice. Is that my?
It should be on your character. I think you're a D8.
Yeah, D8. Because I'm looking at my sheet here. Hit dice 5d8.
Oh, one night, we were trying to figure out the most d20 you could roll in one shot. So he went 475 d20. I was like, why would you do that? Oh, I know what I did wrong. Hold on. No, I forgot to put how many d20 I want to roll. Okay, I'm here by you. Hold on, hold on. It goes...
It's like roll Yates.
Damn, why is that one working?
You're sending me in the DM.
Yes. All right, that link you just posted for the Bard spell list, that's the exact thing I was using. That's the exact list. That one. And you see on top where it says cantrip and... Wait, where'd it go? Holy crap. Okay, where it says cantrip and first level. You can look at all of those, and those are the ones you can cast. And just study up on... But the ones that say ritual, those take you 10 minutes to cast.
Ah, so those are a little bit more potent, but takes a bit longer, too.
Yeah, because last week somebody wanted to cast Find Familiar in the middle of a fight, and I looked at him and went, what? And he goes, what? I want to cast Find Familiar. And me and the DM looked at him like, dude, that's a 10-minute, that's a ritual. So it takes 10 minutes to cast. I could do it in a normal casting time because I'm Order of Scribes. And once per day, I can cast a ritual like a normal spell. That's a special thing I've got. I was like, you're not Order of Scribes. You can't do that. So anything that has, where it says casting time, like one action with the R above it, to the right, like comprehend language, detect magic. That's like a 10-minute spell.
All right, well, let's see. We got...
So I gave us,
the extended
I gave
time, we got 22 minutes.
All right. So, that's your lesson on D&D this week, kids. On spell casting.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else we need to cover?
I think that's pretty much it. Once again, to check out the Spycammer Resort.
You disappeared. You disappeared from COH.
I must have an SNR. Yep, it's happening.
I'm sending you this on Discord, the private DM. Would it be something like this for my dice?
Let me see.
Like 5d8.
Yeah, it's supposed. Yeah, that would be it. But I'm missing something. I don't remember because I haven't used it since I got all my dice. So. Once I find it in the general chat, I know it's there.
Hey, I got a 19 on that roll.
On 5d8, a possible 40, you got 19?
Yeah, for 5d8, I got like a 19.
Oh.
All right, going back here to check out Spackhammer Resort, it's deviantart.com /papervalentine, one word.
Oh, very cool.
Now, I'll give you more information on the BentoCon a little later, possibly for the next broadcast, and hopefully with the real website.
And also, if you are looking for a voice actor or a actor for, I'm sure that Spycammer would have no problem, unless you are supporting the strike.
Let's see, Paul. It says like charisma 16 score plus 3. Would that be like?
that's your to your skills that you have that are charisma based. When you roll the whatever you, when you roll like for a charisma skill, you roll like for a charisma check, you roll plus 3.
Okay, so it's like 16 plus 3, so 19.
Hold on, what did you do? How did you get your dice made? What did you do for the dice?
I'm just trying to figure this out.
Yeah, but how did you do it?
Dice?
Oh, she's on. Roll message.
Oh. Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out.
All right, and I should be back now.
Oh, wait. I know what I'm doing wrong. Holy shit, what am I doing wrong here? Wait a minute. Holy shit. Oh, wait a minute.
So what is going on?
I don't know.
hold on. I'm sorry. You guys can talk. Hold on. I'm just trying something here. All
right. So the cartoon that you're working on, what the name again is
Terrible Tuesday. Yes.
Yep. And soon to be released to be shown on DeviantArt.
Oh, okay. I figured that. Oh, okay. I got it.
Okay.
That was so weird.
Well, let us in on the weirdness.
Now, in our Discord for D&D is a way to roll the dice. And it was just weird the way I was typing it and what how it actually works.
Oh.
I was like, wait a minute,
how did you do that?
You do backslash. All right, backslash.
Okay.
Roll. Space. And then you'll see in a block the word message. Right. Backslash, the word roll. Space. And then you see where it says message?
Yeah.
And there's a space. You go D for whatever dice, for one dice, I guess. Oh, let me try. D8. Hold on. Alright. Yeah. Okay.
D.
So it's going to be slash, you know, the backslash, roll. Space, and then the word message will appear. Then you use space for like, and if you want to do 5 8 side dice, you do 5d8. Hit enter.
Yeah, 5d8. It's about
right. Right. I got a 19 again. Hey, how come we both got 19? Something's right. There you go. You got it. Are you ready for this one?
It's not in a City of Heroes event if we do not get hit with an ice spam. We haven't got hit with an ice spam in years.
What spam?
Ice spam. We now have ice armor.
Who hit us with ice? Yeah.
Random person. All right,
guys. I know, we're boring everybody. All right, guys, we're going to end the show here. All right, if anybody wants to talk to me, I have to go make some late dinner for everybody. That's why I was trying to get out of here. I'm being summoned in the other room. Okay, yeah, let's get out of here. Let's end this here. I'll be back in about half an hour if anybody wants to have a Skype chat about D&D and the mechanics. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Swag Hammer for calling in tonight and doing a post-DawnCon interview with us.
Thanks for the invite.
And I will have DawnCon interview. I don't know if I'll do it Wednesday or Friday before the Bunny Night, but it's with Pure Power Streams, DJ Nighthawk.
Ooh, very cool.
So we did have a new guest.
Very cool. That's right. Okay. And I want to thank Alto for calling in, Sharon and Mad Viking for sharing their D&D experiences with us. And next week we'll do a quick summary of what happened. Oh, Bob's not here tonight. Old man Bob. I think I know why. Season 2 of Bastard, Heavy Metal Dark Anime Fantasy, came out today. I watched up to episode 4. So, and there's 15 episodes this season, so.
Is it related
maybe
to
that's
anime?
Yes,
else?
It is, yeah. It was a reboot. From what I gather, it was like a redo of that miniseries, the old miniseries, and season 1 was like 23 episodes, I think, and the season's 15. So.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And it was funny because, like, if you check Netflix, I mean, IMDb, it says season two is coming out before 2023 or the end of 2022. And like, we're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just came out. So it came out today finally. So, and of course, I forgot about it. I was like something, and I looked at my calendar. I'm like, what's the thing on my calendar? Oh, shit. I remembered it at 2 o'clock after I set the show up. So, all right. Anyway. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank all our listeners. Without you guys, me and Matt, and maybe Alto, we'd just be talking about stuff we talk about all the time. Anyway, so, not to bore everybody, we'll see you all next Monday night for another episode of Paragon Radio. Read those comic books, read those superhero novels, watch those TV shows, and see those superhero movies that don't suck. Tune into Dawn Radio, embrace the dawn, play City of Heroes, play Champions Online, and play whatever other games you want to play. Who am I to tell you what to do?
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Anything you'd like to say in closing, Mr. Medvike?
Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie. See you next time. We're out of here.
Goodbye.
It would help if I didn't hit the log out button of the game and the end episode button first.
All right. I will talk to everyone later.
You guys are on. Yep. Talk to you later. Bye.